his face and to say, where do you want me, God? Do you want me to hold up this corner or that corner? Where do you want me? Do you want me to go to those people or that nation or that neighborhood? Or come in here and lay on my face and pray all day? That day is coming. That day is coming where in the house of the Lord there will be prayer 24/7. There will be intercession. There will be worship. There will be glorifying God. We have begun to move in that direction because that relationship with him, seeing him, is everything. Because if you don't see him, then you don't know where you're going. So I challenge you this day to search your heart, and even more to ask the Lord to search your heart as the psalmist did, said, Lord, look inside me and see if there's anything in me that's not flowing in the way you want to flow. See if there's anything in me that's not lined up, because the Lord is aligning things today. He is aligning his body. He is bringing us into place. And if you understand chiropractic, you understand that alignment is so that the nerve impulses can flow from the head all the way through. So there is a healthy flow. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I want to be in alignment so that I hear everything he says and I'm able to do everything that he says to do. So rejoice in what the Lord has said. Rejoice in what he has done. And submit your heart to him so that the work that has just begun can go forth. Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Thank you, sir. Brother Damon, greet and welcome the people, and then we can flow into announcements.
Amen. You are blessed. Amen. It's a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad, and I'm glad somebody, one person thinks so. But praise God, it's an awesome day. God is doing great things in our midst. I want to say, first of all, thank you to everyone who came out, was a part of KLTTC. We're continuing to get content on the site, and that's just a lovely thing, an incredible thing. But to the logistics team, the tech team, the teachers, every aspect, man, you guys are doing an amazing job with that ministry. Amen. And it's just growing and growing and flourishing. We know that God spoke to Pastor Jim and said that that was going to be an important and very integral part of the ministry of House of the Lord. So it's just exciting to see that carried out. So kudos to all of you guys, man. This is some amazing things with that. And I'm really excited about the future of it. We are moving, as you all know. And so I would encourage you, there is Pastor Richard sent an email out kind of detailing some things. But definitely wherever you can find a place to serve, I know that there are areas that each of the team leads have been given. If you're not a part of a team, you definitely can be part of moving. You can find a place to serve and help in that area. So find out. I would reference you to check out Pastor's email concerning the move. And my sister jumped up, so I think she has something to share in kind of expounding on what I just shared.
Excuse me, Brother Damon. There's some information. Good morning, church family. It's around the building. If you have not seen it, there's three different flyers around the building. The first one is a calendar, and it kind of says what's going on and which week is it occurring. This week is Purge Week. Everybody say Purge Week.
Purge Week.
Yes, these are the things that we are not taking with us. Our focus for Purge Week is we are getting light so that we can run with the vision and embrace the new. Let me say that again. We're getting light, not heavy. We're getting light so that we can run with the vision and embrace the new. So that's what we're doing in Purge Week. There's another sign that's around the building right next to the previous one, and it gives the dates and the times all of this week that the church is open for purging. So look at that. And then lastly, there's one more, and it has the details of which teams, which leaders are responsible for which areas or rooms within the building. Everyone needs to look at this, because if your team name is not on here, if your team leader is not on here, you need to see me. I'm the point of contact for this week, Purge Week, to find out where you can be a blessing. Many hands make light work. Everybody do that with me. Many hands make light work. Thank you, Discovery Camp, for teaching me that one. So we're going to get an opportunity to participate, but you say, oh, I don't have much time. Maybe you have that hour to run by at lunchtime and empty the garbage cans around this building, because they're going to be continually full. Maybe you have a couple hours to jump in with the folks working in the kitchen and be their legs running around pulling boxes down. There's something for everyone. So if you're not on a team, see me. If you're on a team, communicate with your team leader and they'll give you more instructions. Team leads, if you have any questions about the purging process, see me. I have answers. Bless you.
Good morning, church family. I come before you once again to give you the opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. If you're here in the house, the men of valor have offering envelopes they will be distributing to you. If you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal. You can find that on our homepage. You can follow the link in our YouTube video or Facebook feed. It'll take you there. I did not want to go where I'm going today. I had someplace else I was planning on going, but I kept reading it and looking at it, and I was just like, that's just not it. So we're going to do a rewind. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12. We were just here a while ago. Verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. Go. Didn't say where to go. He said go. and I will make you a great nation. Now, the and is tied back to the beginning. Go and I'll do this. Go and I'll do that. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you, and your name will be great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's not lost on me that 6 months ago, 5 months ago, the landlord came in and talked to Pastor and notified him that we had to be out on April 1st. And it's not lost on me that Pastor Richard never once stood up here and said, April 1st, we're gone. Until Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, Pastor stood up and says, we don't know where we're going, but we're going. He stood up and said, stood right here and said, we are leaving. Our last assembly in this building will be in March. We're gone on April 1st. We're out of this building. And what, 3 hours later, the door opens. An opportunity arised that we had no opportunity at before. For 5 months, we were waiting. Where should we go? What should we do? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that the landlord was not being mean or cruel or treating us badly. Just like an eagle will kick its youth out of the nest in order for them to grow, we needed to get pushed from where we were so we could do what God wants done. But if you don't go, you can't get blessed. So prepare. Prepare in your hearts and be obedient. If we had gone back to the landlord with our hat in our hands and says, oh, please let us stay, then the blessing wouldn't be here. And yes, we could have probably figured out some way, worked out some sort of a deal, and we could have stayed here. But the blessing that is behind what God wants us to do would have never come. We would have missed our opportunity, and that which are supposed to do, we would not have done because we refused to be obedient. Why does that apply to what I am here to do today? If you're not obedient with what God's told you to do with your finances, with the tithe and with the offering, then know this: God's blessing will not come. It is tied. It is an if-then statement. If you know anything about computer programming, if this, then that. If this is true, then that occurs. If this is not true, then that occurs. If you choose to disobey God in the area of tithes and offerings, then the blessing which God has already prepared for you will not come to pass. So if you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal. You can mail us a check, P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. Give in obedience. Give in faith. And watch what God has already prepared for you come to pass.
Well, I feel like giving God a I feel like giving God.
of your family this morning. We call it holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, your purpose, Father. Have your way in it and through it, Father. We agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open and your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And as we give this morning in the offering, Father, it is given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see to it that we have more than enough to do what you've called us to do in establishing your kingdom in the earth and enjoying all the beauty and splendor that you put here for your kids to enjoy. Thank you, Father. At this time, we're going to dismiss the children, the Kingdom Kids, and the youth to youth ministry. Let's pray over their time together. Father, we lift the children and the youth of House of the Lord before you this morning, and we call their ministry time blessed of you, Father. Have your way in it and through it, Father. Flow through the teachers, the ministers, Father. Cause rivers of living water to flow out of their belly, Father. Give them the words to say, the things to speak, Father. And most importantly, Father, we rely upon your anointing, your power, your spirit, your flow, Father, to minister to your children, to minister to your young people. Father, we declare and decree that they are strengthened and edified in their inner man this morning, Father. They are built up, Father, and they leave here ready to go out and be who you've called them to be and do what you've called them to do, Father. Thank you, sir. Children, youth, you are dismissed.
Just had this song rolling over and over in my spirit lately, and I believe it's not just an expression of something that has happened, but it is a place. It's a place where we all must live, where we must live. If you know it, sing it along with me. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever, ever done. Oh yeah, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever, ever done. That's good. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get to know you, to fall in love with you, to know your presence, and to know your life. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this house today. Father, I thank you for where you're taking us. I thank you for what you've shown us and what you haven't shown us, because, Father, we know your heart is full of good things. And if you say, come here, then we know it's good. We know it's good, Father. So we submit to you today, to what you're doing, to what you're saying. Father, we line up with your anointing and with your calling. And Father, we yield this service to you. God, I know there's a word in my spirit, but Father, if there's something you want to say, something different you want to do, please interrupt us. And right now, it's not even an interruption, because we're just yielding to you. Father, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? Lord, we listen for you. Our ears are tuned to your voice, Father. Our eyes are set on you. And we choose to follow you, Father, as never before. As never before, and more and more and more as we understand, we press in. We press in, Father. We desire to be pleasing to you, Father. We desire to be vessels you would use. And Father, we desire to be whole, not because we hurt, not because we want, but because you paid the price. You said, this is what I want for my children. I want them well. I want them whole. So we reach out and receive those things today, Father. Miracles, signs, and wonders. As you confirm your word in our midst, Father. And we call and we draw on your anointing. And we soak in your presence. And we listen for the teacher within us, the Holy Spirit, to reveal. As you speak to us and as you speak through us this day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Namakrabriya sakmana kridiya sukurbriya sikema kriya se heba bakrabriya sat kridiya sukurbriya ema mama kriya sat kridiya se ikriya sat kridiya sukurbriya sa selelelelele robariya robariya ngumare robariya ruku kriya sikurya sikomana kridiya ekurbriya sat kridiya robariya sukurbriya ruku ukurbriya robariya nana kermani ekurbriya sat kridiya se. It has been a long time. It has been a very long time. But my word will prevail. My truth prevails. What I have said is what I will do. My promises to this house, even before most of you were here, my promises are yea and amen, and I will accomplish my purpose. And as my purpose is being accomplished, this house will go. Some of you will go, some of you will sin, some of you will stay by the goods, but it will all be that my word can be performed, that my word will come forth and be performed just as I said to Pastor Jim. Yes, he came home, but the vision did not die. I always had a plan. I always knew what was going to happen. And your pastors will walk out the plan that I have always had for the house of the Lord. If you are here and committed, you are here because I called you here. But you better make up your mind that you're going to follow the leadership. Follow the leadership. These pastors are called according to my purpose. You cannot look back and say, but whatever pastor did, he did. But this is a new season, a new day, and a new time. I have told you before, follow the leadership. Honor my leaders. Do what they are called to do because they hear and obey me. It is a season of overflowing anointing and abundance. As each step comes forth, you are going to see the miraculous start to come forth. There are things that were promised. Some of you don't know, but you'll benefit from the word that had gone forth and the promises that have gone forth. You need to make sure you are lined up and doing what I've called you to do. This is my promise to this house. I will bless you. I will set you free from debt, but it'll be a one-time thing because it is the season of doing what I have called you to do. You are called to be seed sowing tithers and givers. I am your father. I can forgive you. But when this house goes forth, it will go forth with people who are submitted to me. And if you're submitted to me, you're submitted to the vision, and you're submitted to those who are called to carry out the vision. This is my word. Line up, do what I've called you to do, or you will be stepped on as others go forth and walk out the walk that I've called this house to.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we hear your word. We hear your voice, and we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, Lord. I've had this word stirring in my spirit for, I don't know, a week or two now, and I've asked the Lord, I said, this is a little, feels like going backwards just a little bit, I guess, but now I understand why, that it's here, I see what God is doing and encouraging us. First of all, I just want to bring you greetings from Kempo. I talked to him this morning. He said, please tell everyone that I love you and I miss you. And he can't wait to see us again. So, I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to go to Africa. But I know there's some things that God wants to get in order first. So we're going to be obedient. Amen. We're going to listen and do what the Lord says. He's still having some challenges with his car. We had some money come in for the repairs, which I appreciate so much. And someone rear-ended him and knocked him into a pothole, and it busted the rim off and busted the tire and had a blowout and bent something else. I'm like, okay, devil, you're a liar. So I just told him, I said, it took what we had to get that much repair done. And I said, put the car in the shop and get everything fixed. I don't know what it's going to cost, and I don't care, but we'll have the money when it's done. So if God moves on you to give, I don't know where it's coming from. I'm not worried about it. God said he would take care of all of these things. So I said, just please get it fixed, because he can't travel to a lot of places that he needs to begin stirring in the ministry until he's able to get some wheels. And so I'm just thanking God that that is taken care of. We'll get that behind us. The Lord said, a week ago in prayer, I was listening and I heard, and I've heard this phrase before from a lot of people. He said, you've heard it said, new level, new devils. Y'all heard that? I'm not really fond of things like that, but it's 'cause it's sort of prophesying that, oh, it's just going to get harder. And that's not how I see God working, but I do understand that when you take a new territory, you are taking it from something that you've not dealt with before, maybe. And so, I can see that as there is promotion, as you come into a higher place, as you take higher ground, there's a different authority there. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and these things. And so they have been defeated. But some of them are going to challenge that. And if they can bluff you out, they can make you think that they didn't get defeated. Everybody else did, but not them. You know, poverty will say to you, well, you know, maybe you're healed, but you're not getting this one. And it's our opportunity to believe the truth that says they're already defeated. But what we have to understand is with promotion comes equipping. God doesn't call us up higher to another place unless he knows we're ready. And he said, you've heard it said, new level, new devils, but I say new hour, new power. New hour, new power. We are coming into some new things, into some different places. There will be some things we haven't seen before. some opportunities that we have not experienced before to get frustrated, to get angry, to get drawn off our game, if you will. And the Lord says, you need to stay in my word and in my presence and remember who you are and remember that those things are already defeated. Though you're not familiar with it, if you will keep your eyes on me, I have already given you. And when he says power, that is equivalent to authority. We have the authority to tell these things no. We have the authority to rise above. And so don't think that when the Lord says promotion, that there's just this red carpet rolled out and we just step up to the next level. In some ways, that's true. In the spirit, he's made a way and made a place. Please don't misunderstand me. But the enemy does not want that to happen. He's not just going to sit there and say, oh, well. How do I know that? Because Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, when the word is sown, the enemy comes to steal the word. Now, he may already know that he's going to lose. He already knows that he's been defeated, but the word says that he comes to steal the word, so he's got to come to steal the word. And when he meets those who are prepared, it's no battle, it's no issue. But the preparation is what's important, staying in the presence of God, because he will tell you ahead of time things that you need to know. He will tell you, he will have it broadcast in the assembly what you need to know. And if you decided to sleep in that day, you might have to skip a step and go back to the beginning and learn something over again. There's no condemnation. There are times, I understand, I've missed. It's not condemnation, but it's just being aware. You know, God is, you know, I feel like today is a day that I need to go grasp some truth, that you're going to lead me somewhere. So being willing to be led by the Spirit, to be where you need to be, because the wisdom is going to be there. The Lord said, I will show you things to come. By my Spirit, I will show you things to come. If you call on me, I will answer you, and I will tell you something that you did not know. How exciting is that? Secrets from God. It's an awesome thing, but it's our choice. It's our choice to step into that, to stay with it, to hang on to it. We can choose victory or we can choose defeat, even when victory is being handed to us. So this today, this word is a word of encouragement. And I think I've said the last two times, if you're already up on this and you already know this, then you can sit and pray for the rest of us while we're being encouraged in the Lord and what he's doing. It's going to be review. And you're going to have the opportunity to think, man, we've heard this before. I know this. But sometimes we need to be put in remembrance of these things. Some of these things we need to give the more earnest heed to, lest at any time we let them slip. You know, there's tools that you forget you have sometimes when you don't use them a lot. And you realize, you know, after you're done that, man, I had a whatever in my tool bag. I could have made this twice as fast. I just forgot it. Let's work smarter, not harder. Amen. So the Lord said, new hour, new power, new atmosphere, new authority. Promotion brings that, brings the authority to you. You know, the word says that as long as an heir is a child, he's more like a servant. He's a son, but he's a child. He hasn't grown in understanding. So authority is not released to the child. You understand that? You're a son. But until you've grown, there are some authorities that are not released until you grow in understanding and wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And you come to that place where God says you're ready. And house of the Lord, God has said you're ready. And it's time to step into some new authorities. Stand a little straighter. Understand who you are in Christ. No, you don't have to put up with that stuff in your house anymore. You don't have to put up with that pain anymore. Well, I've been standing for 5 years. Well, then it ain't time to sit down yet. Because as long as you're willing to stand, The victory is assured. Stay the course. Stay the course. 1 Peter chapter 4. I typed these words really big so I wouldn't have to wear the glasses because I hate the glasses. But they still look small. I don't know. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. But Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? Did I disobey somewhere? How is this happening? My pastor's not covering me like they're supposed to. My wife is not standing with me like they're supposed to. Why did this happen to me? This is somebody's fault. This is somebody's. He said, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. Because we have an enemy. And many times that's the only answer as to why is this happening to me? Because we have an enemy. If the enemy isn't messing with you, I wonder about your effectiveness. If your life is just peace and joy and fun and happy and doing everything you want to do, the enemy only comes after what has the ability to come after him. Okay? So do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. The fiery trial, it says, but we already have a promise about the fire. Isaiah chapter 43, starting in verse 1, it says, but now thus says the Lord who created you and he who formed you, O Israel, that is God's people in whom we are grafted, says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you or scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. The flame will not burn you. We have a promise. Don't worry about that fiery trial. It's not going to burn you. It's not going to take you out. It won't kindle upon us. But we do see in the Old Testament where that fire will burn off the bondages. Remember the three Hebrew children? They were bound and thrown in the fire. Well, what happened in the fire? The things that they were bound with were burned off, but they came out without even the smell of smoke. If you don't remember, even the people that threw them in the fire were burnt and died because it was so hot, and yet the flame did not kindle upon them. It did not affect them even to the point of what they smelled like, but it did burn off the bondages. You know, sometimes we don't want stuff to happen. I don't want that. I don't want to go through that. And God says, you don't understand what through looks like. Through looks like it can't touch you, but it's going to burn off the things that have bound you. It's going to burn off some things that, some misconceptions or some ideas maybe that you had. When you actually choose to walk through and say, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. You're going to find yourself coming out better. Coming out sweeter, coming out stronger, and coming out stronger in the presence of God. Who was walking with them in that? The king said, I saw a fourth man like unto the Son of God. When you come out, it's deeper in his presence, more with him than when you went in. We may see that the enemy is after us to harm us, but God sent it only to allow it to remove the bondages. So going back to, was it 1 Peter? Going back to 1 Peter, verse 13 says, but rejoice. He says, don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised about the trial. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, things that he went through. He said that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Okay, there's a formula there. Rejoice in the yuck. Rejoice in the challenge. Rejoice in that thing that is coming against you, because if you will, if you don't give in to the frustration, if you don't lay down to the this is too hard, then you will rejoice because his glory will be revealed in you, through you. It's like another coat of polish. Shine. People will look at you and notice the difference. It reminds me of the phrase, if we don't quit, we win. Keep going and rejoicing, because then you will rejoice when the Lord's glory is revealed. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. How can you call that light? When you look at the severity of something, it can be measured based on comparing it to something else, right? We may think that a bee sting is worse than a splinter, right? But if you fractured your arm and it's a compound fracture, we would say that's worse than a bee sting, right? Because we understand the greatness and the gravity and the challenge and the attention needed and the pain level of a compound fracture is just going to be greater than a bee sting, unless you're Sister Gail. And then it might be a either or. But you compare it to something else in the same, I don't know, neighborhood or whatever. When you compare the glory that is to be revealed, the magnificence that is to be revealed through you, then the whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, is not worthy to be compared. It is a blip on the radar to the greatness that God is taking you to. But you have to keep going to get there. You have to keep going to get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we can't compare the two, because one is so much greater. It says an eternal weight of glory. Now, a lot of times we read that scripture and we think, yeah, the suffering that I've got here is nothing to be compared in heaven. Okay, I'll give you that one. But that's not exactly what he's saying here. He says it works a far more eternal weight of glory. The word there for eternal, we tend to think eternal is from here to the future. From here on out, somewhere in the future, something's going to be good. But eternal is like from before the beginning to after the end. Eternal is all the way this way and all the way this way. It's a little difficult for us to comprehend, but the bottom line is that eternal includes now. Okay? Eternal includes right now. Eternal is not just future. It's past, it's present, and it's future. So it is working something in you right now that is going to be amazing and beautiful if you will let it. And we'll get to that in just a minute. So the things that we suffer are not worthy to be compared to what God is working and going to be manifesting in us. We're still in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporary, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. You are invisible. Your body is visible, but you are a spirit. You, in Christ, are deathless and everlasting. And God is working that in you as you persist in the things that are coming against you, because you understand that the things that are coming against you are going to go away, and you are not. You are going to be the one left standing at the end of the ordeal. So don't consider what you see with your mind's eye. As Romans 8:7, it says, the carnal mind is enmity or hostile to, in opposition against God. Don't consider what you see with your natural eyes. Don't. Don't. My mind likes to do this thing I call looping. And it says, but what if? But what if that's really the result of something else? And what if this is not really going to work out? And what if I do everything right and they do everything wrong and I can't change what they did? And so what they did is going to affect me, and now it's all going to go downhill. And I mean, it just will not stop. I don't know if y'all have that problem, but my brain just wants to go off with all of the horrible scenarios, all of the bad pictures. I grew up with this, having difficulty sleeping. I could not sleep, especially if I watched something weird on TV. Because whatever that was in their closet, it was under my bed now. I just knew that, okay? I could see it with my mind's eye. It was there, and it was continual, and it caused me a lot of grief and torment until I understood that I can control my mind. You choose what you think about. The word says, think on these things. Well, if you could not think on these things, then it would not have been there. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not. You, understood subject, you let not. You have to stop it. You have to change it. And I've learned that the best way to do that is to redirect it. I can remember when I was teaching 3 and 4 years olds. I was about 16, and I was working in the, we called it Sunday school then. I was working in Sunday school with the 3 and 4 year olds, and I had the pastor's grandson and the youth pastor's grandson. Oh my goodness. These two kids were, I guess you would call it, hell on wheels. They were crazy. And I did not know what to do with these children. I would tell them to do this, and they would not do it. They always did something different. And my mom came in one day, and she said, let me show you how to do this. She said, you need to redirect them. And you can't just tell them. You have to take them, and you scoop them up, and you sit them down at their table, and you take a crayon, and you force it in their hand, and you say, look, we're going to color a picture. Let's do this. Can you do better than that? I think you probably can. Show me. And you've just arrested what they were doing, distracted their train of thought, challenged them to do better, and it was amazing the difference. Now, you know, it wasn't 100%, but it was so much better so that I could go home without pulling my hair out. So redirect, arrest your mind and say, shut up. Cast down those thoughts. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to anything but the voice of truth. What does the voice of truth say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you begin to tell yourself the truth of the Word of God. Now, you can begin to recite nursery rhymes if you want to. Some people use that to redirect, but there's no life there. And I think if we're going to redirect, let's go into something that's going to contribute, that's going to change us, that's going to bring life. So we have to choose how we think about these things and choose what we're going to say. It is our choice to do that, so we don't consider those things. Back to 1 Peter, we're in verse 14. He says, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is a time when they were being persecuted and bad things were happening to them. And he said, don't think it strange when this stuff happens to you because you're not of this world. You're different and they're going to come after you. But he said, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God rests upon you. There's an old hymn of the church that we used to sing, Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. So if you're blessed when people insult you, think about every time you turn the news on and they started talking about these Christians or what's wrong with the world. Christians are the toxicity in our culture now. Have you heard that? I've heard it's not inferred anymore. It's not a just kind of a concept that they sort of gloss over. They're saying now that Christians are the problem, that Christians are what need to be retrained. We need to rethink and understand some things. Every time you see something on Facebook about these crazy Christians that think everything bad is just going to go away, we need to change that. Every time you hear something about that, you are blessed. When you hear it, I want you to laugh and say, whoo, there's another blessing for me because I've been counted worthy to suffer with Christ. Now, see, he is going to change things, I believe. I don't think it's time for the nation to go completely 100% down into chaos. That's going to be arrested on his timetable because there is going to be another great awakening, and the United States is going to facilitate that. And in its current state, that's going to be a little challenging. But we will do that. But understand, that's a place to count your blessings when they revile you, when they talk about you, when they persecute you. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Should we not laugh as well? And then I want to jump over to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 19 through 21. And therefore the Lord waits, expecting, looking. This is when Israel comes back to him. There's such a, I kind of wanted to be in Kingdom Kids today. Did y'all? It sounded like it was going to be really good, right? But, the Old Testament is just this continual ebb and flow of if you will, then I will. And they did for a while, and then they didn't. And if he said, if you don't come to me, then I'm going to put you through this for 70 years or 40 years or whatever it was. And is this coming back to God and then leaving again? And then coming back to God and then leaving again? And this is one of those times where God says, when you turn your heart back to me, he says, the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he exalts himself that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Who wait for him. Do you remember talking about that? I think it was last week. We talked about waiting on the Lord. Waiting before him in his presence. Just ministering to him. Being in his presence. Waiting on him. Waiting for him. Waiting with him. Blessed are those who wait for him. Who expect and look and long for him. For his victory and his favor. For his joy and his matchless, unbroken companionship. Companionship. Someone that you would walk with. A companion. We don't think of a companion as someone exalted above us or someone that we pity. But we think of a companion as someone who walks with us. God wants to walk with us. So when we wait on him for that, we are blessed. And he says, O people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, that's people who dwell in his presence. People who dwell in his presence. At this time, at this appointed time, having turned to him, having waited on him, he says, you will weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. And when he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, we don't like verses like that. We like to gloss over that stuff. God just gives us joy, pie in the sky, by and by. But you know, sometimes you got to go through stuff to break through stuff. And it's not fun, and it seems challenging. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. They did not know the indwelling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit at that time. The Holy Spirit would come upon someone and then leave again, and they never knew exactly where he was going to show up or what was going to happen. But he said, in this time, your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes will constantly behold your teacher. You're going through it. It's something rough, and you don't understand it. But if you will open your eyes, spend time with the Lord, you will see The Holy Spirit is right there with the instruction. And it says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, is on the inside of you to lead you and to guide you. You have inside knowledge, inside information. He knows the heart of God. He searches the heart of God and reveals it to us. So God, what am I going through and what's going on? The teacher is there to show you. The teacher is there to steady you. I remember Malcolm Smith teaching on what it means to have Christ on the inside of us. And he said he was trying to learn to play tennis. And it was challenging. That whole hand-eye coordination thing just was not going over for him. And he would watch his instructor and how he could amazingly seem like he could sense beforehand where that ball was going to be. And every time he knew right where to be, whether it was going to be the forehand or the backhand, you know, being able to switch fast enough. That was my challenge in tennis. But he said, and he started thinking about it one day after a really grueling time, and he thought, man, if I had that instructor on the inside of me, what could I do? Because every time I needed to be somewhere, he would just have me right there. If that instructor was inside of me, if he was inside my head, I would have every instinct, every understanding, every recognition of everything that was coming at me and never miss it. If I had the instructor on the inside of me. We have the instructor on the inside of us. The problem is we've not really challenged ourselves to listen sometimes. We just go off with what we think and what we see. But if we can learn to tune in to the teacher on the inside of us, then everything that we do, everywhere that we go, he is instructing our steps. And this one looks perfect, God. I know this is right. And he said, no. And imagined if we listened and we obeyed and we backed up and we said, okay, God, show me where. But you see, those things come from spending time listening, spending time in his presence, spending time with him. Prayer, spending time with God, is foundational to anything. Because if you read the word without the presence of God and without the Holy Spirit, it will become a letter that kills. Everything that we do needs to be by the unction to function of the Holy Spirit. It is our choice to go there. So we will hear that word saying, this is the way, go this way, go that way, when you turn to the right or to the left. And then we come to 1 Peter 5, chapter 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. If you've chosen to stay in this house, if you've been here for a very long time, you understand, humble yourself. Everybody else is getting big, fancy buildings. Everybody else got a big, fancy choir. They've got couches in the entryway. They've got the big, fancy coffee machines in the entrance. And they serve breakfast through the week. And they do all these fancy things with all these fancy buildings. And we're like, Lord, we come into this lovely place. But you said to be here. And I would like to exalt myself and be on one of those big stages and one of those big places where they're on big TV programs and they get big names and big checks in the mail and big stuff. But God, you said to stay here. And if you stayed where God said to stay, you've humbled yourself. And I'm telling you today that this is the word of the Lord to this body today, that he is exalting us. And when he does it, it can't be undone. And when he does it, nobody else can thump you off of that stage. When he does it, it's eternal. And God is doing that with his people today. So he is exalting us. And in the process, we need to be casting all of our anxieties on him. Why? Because he gets irritated and he doesn't want us to second guess him. Because he gets frustrated when we think, God, you don't know what you're doing. No. Because he cares for you. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? There's a saying, I think it might be on the women's bathroom in here. It says, when you can't see God's hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart. He cares for you. So cast those anxieties on him. God, this is yours. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Be watchful. Understand, we have an enemy. And he's prowling around like a roaring lion. And if you hear a roaring lion and you think you're about to be eaten, remember that he's just like a roaring lion. He would like you to think that. And if you're aware and you're sober-minded and you're watchful, you're like, ah, you can't hurt me. You can't bring me down. You can't do anything to me. See, some people read that and they think, be afraid, be very afraid, because there's a lion that's after you. No, 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 no. It's understand that you can be cheerful and joyful, because when you hear that sound that says, I'm going to eat you, you can laugh, because you don't have any teeth. You don't have any strength against me. There's no way. So it says, resist him, firm in your faith. Don't even pay attention to it. Just walk away, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Did you ever meet somebody that thought what was happening to them was worse than anything that anybody else had ever had? My life is harder. You know, even if we had the same problem, mine was harder because my life is just worse than yours. Some people think that everybody goes through the same stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. What he's tried on you, he's tried on a bunch of other people too. So there's no point in elevating the attack because it's just another attack. And the Lord has already made a way for victory through that. And I love this verse. He says, after you've suffered, after you've been affected a little while, after you've been in the fire long enough for it to burn off the bondages, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, he's not sending somebody else to do it. He's not asking somebody else, I want you to go help those people because they did something good and bless them. God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. When you've done all to stand and you keep standing, when you don't understand what's happened but you choose to trust God and to stay where he put you and to expect him, then he will restore. He will return what was stolen and make you complete and perfect. He will confirm you. He will set you firmly, make you stable and solid. He will strengthen you, giving you that strength and authority and power. And he will establish you and settle you on a firm foundation. That is where I believe we are right now. God is restoring. He's strengthening, confirming, and establishing house of the Lord. So just a little recap. James chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, count it all joy when you meet trials. Count it how much? All joy. And you know, some people are arrested by that statement and they say, okay, that's right, I'm not supposed to complain. Oh yeah, okay, I get it. Suck it up, keep going. He didn't say hang in there. He didn't say try to put your best face on. He said count it all joy. Joy. Come on. Come at me. Because guess what? You're just going to elevate me to another victory. You're taking me to a higher place. I ain't falling for your stuff. I'm not falling into a sad story. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what you said about my back. I don't care what you said about my heart. I'm coming out of this without the smell of smoke on me. I'm coming out of this stronger than ever. And my voice is going to be heard in the nations. In the nations. I may have to sit down for a little while right now, but it ain't forever. Because I'm laughing. I'm laughing. This is joyful. Hallelujah. This is a sign. This is a sign that you're scared of me. This is a sign God is doing something in me. I got somewhere to go. And if I have to go through you, well, let's do it. Because I've been strengthened, I've been empowered, and I've been told this was going to happen. And I've been told that when it happens, I'm going to come out better and stronger. It's like that workout that you don't want to do. Count it all joy when you have to do those crunches. Because guess what? You're going to be stronger. You're going to come out of it stronger. So really, count it joy. Be excited about it. Know that it's an opportunity to grow and to manifest the glory of God. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You're just going to make me stronger. You're just going to make me stronger. And let steadfastness have its full effect. Let. The word says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The problem with that is that you're always wanting to crawl down off the altar. The problem with that is that you're always wanting to run away from some of that fire. But he said, let steadfastness have her perfect work. Stand there. Having done all to stand. I'm still standing. I ain't going anywhere. I'm standing right here. Because when you let it have its perfect work, then you are perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. That is where God wants us to live. That is what he wants to do in us today. Exodus 14, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Okay, we just got up and bolted from an entire group of people that have held us bondage for 400 years, enslaved to them. We walked out. We took their money. We took their gold and their silver and their rubies and their diamonds, and they're coming after us. We're weak. We're emaciated. We haven't really been fully fed. We've been in bondages and chains. We're not really exercising that much. We're tired. And now we're right here following this crazy guy, and there is the Red Sea in front of us, and they're coming after us. Enemies with weapons. What am I going to do? Throw a gold earring at them? I have nothing to do. Like Jehoshaphat, we have no might against this army. And Moses says, do not be afraid. What is that? What kind of instruction is that? What am I supposed to do with that? Why did Moses say that? Because that's what God said. How could he confidently stand there between these angry, there's an army, and then there's a group of angry people, and then there's a Red Sea. And I'm going to stand here and lift up my hands and say, do not be afraid. What about Moses? I think he was afraid. Somebody said they had a translation of it as God said, why are you screaming like a girl, Moses? Stand up and tell him, do not be afraid. Stretch out your right. I don't know. But it's kind of funny to think about, because Moses had reason to fear too. He had two armies to fear. Standing there looking at him saying, what in the world are you doing? And he said, do not be afraid. But why could he say that? Because God said it. And he trusted God. See, he had some experience with God. He saw some stuff happen that God said it's going to go down this way, and it did. Anybody here seen some stuff happen? God said it's going to be like this, and it was. And it happened. Then when we're looking at the impossible, it's not crazy to say, don't be afraid. We're packing. We're packing everything up. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, that sounds stupid. No, because I trust God. God said, hang on. God said what he would do. So take your stand, be firm and undismayed, and see, this is Moses, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Stand and see. God is accomplishing something for all of us today. Will you not see it? God said, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not see it? So you take your stand and let him accomplish, because the next part is what I like. He said, because these Egyptians that you're looking at that are coming against you, that have plagued you, that have tormented and terrorized your family, your ancestries, generations, you will not see again. You will not. There's a point where God says, this is it. And once you cross this line, all of the things that have dogged you and tried to keep you out, you won't see them again. Will you see adversity? Oh, yeah. We're still in the earth. But not that one, because I'm sick and tired of that one. That one's been following me around. It followed my mom around, followed my grandmother around. It followed people in my family around for a very long time, and I'm ready. I'm ready to see it drown. I'm ready to see it drown, but you see it drowned when you stand and you look for God. You're not looking for the waters to drown them. You're just looking to God. And when you stand and look to him, he said, that thing that has plagued you, you will not see anymore. That's that place of being perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Because I let steadfastness have its work. And I stood and I said, no, you're not taking my family. No, you're not taking my baby. No, you're not taking my house. No, you're not taking my health. And I stood. And then we see the salvation of God. So the promises are there. The truth is there. And what is there for us to do? Believe. Believe. Believe against all odds. Believe against all the things coming against you. Trust the Lord. When the arguments come in your mind, cast them down. When the thoughts want to plague you that there's something wrong, don't listen to it. When you see the attack of the enemy, you see that letter in the mail, you see your bank account, you see your car sitting flat, four tires. When you see these things, choose to see the Lord your God high and lifted up and reigning over all. And then listen. Listen, because it's a test, like a test on in school, on a worksheet that you're working on. There's an answer. There's a way. There's a solution. You can find X. It is possible. You have to listen to your teacher. All right, Lord, I'm going to wait on you right now. I'm standing. I'm not going to let this enemy run over me. But I don't have a clue what to do. What's up, God? And he says, just begin to praise me. And you just begin to say, thank you, Father. God, I thank you that you're in control. Father, I thank you that you're taking care of this situation. Father, I'm just going to trust in you. See, I had one of those moments this week. Kempo's 8,000, 9,000 miles away in a country that's not really friendly to its people. They have a curfew. If you miss the curfew, you could get thrown in prison or they'll just beat you on the spot. They don't care. And so he calls me, and it's 20 minutes till curfew, and he's not home yet, and his car's overheated, and he's sitting on the side of the road. God. You know, and of course, as a mom, you have the opportunities. Oh, they're going to find him. They're going to beat him. They're going to put him in jail. They're going to be upset, blah, 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 blah. And I put my phone down because it's like, there is nothing. I have no might against this. And I said, God. And I just backed up for a second, and it was like a water hose turned on, and just peace. And you know what he said? He said, I got your boy. I got your boy. I got his back. And it was like, I just wasn't worried about it anymore. And I get a message. He said, Mom, the police just came, and they said everything's fine. They'll take care of me. Don't worry about it. Do what you need to do with your car. And then these two guys just stopped by and said, they'll help me. And they helped him get it home. And so in that moment where you can get frustrated, you can get angry, you can get worried, you can imagine every possible scenario, you just back up and you say, okay, God. And sometimes he might tell you to call somebody. He might say, call Brother Ken. He's got the answer. Or he might say, ask Pastor Richard to pray with you. Or he might say, laugh. Or there was one time he told me, don't worry about it. Just go paint your fingernails. Do something you enjoy. I'm going to take care of it. And I was like, what? True story. True story. because he's got it. But we have to listen to what he's saying. And when we do, we come into that place of promotion. And we come against those new devils. And we're like, you ain't any tougher than the last ones. Killed a lion, killed a bear. You have no covenant. You have no right. And we have the victory. So where we're going, know that the enemy doesn't like it. But there's not one thing he can do about it when we stay in his care. Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just entreat the Holy Spirit right now. Ah, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite you. We know that you are here. We know that you are moving in our midst, and you have called us for a time such as this. So, Father, I thank you that your Spirit now hovers over this people. And every heart, every life, every individual, every household, every member is touched by your Holy Spirit. You reveal your love. You reveal your heart so that the people know their God and do exploits. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just release the anointing of God on all of you. You have heard the word, and now the word takes root in your heart, and it grows, and it produces much, much fruit, because the Holy Spirit, the teacher and the guide, shows us and teaches us the things that we have heard. A lot of times we don't hear, or we don't learn the things that we hear, but not so today. We learn. It becomes a part of us. It becomes elements of our physical and spiritual being. We are the children of the Most High God. We are infused with the Holy Spirit. We are infused with His presence. And we will never be the same. We will never be the same. The enemy will not steal the word. He will not destroy the word. He cannot, because I seal it with the Holy Spirit. It's in your heart. It's in your life from this point forward. And we rejoice and we celebrate in the goodness of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just speak supernatural healing for those that need it. I speak supernatural provision for those who are in need. And I release the anointing of God to bring it to pass. There is not a sick one among us. There is not a feeble one among us. There is not a broke one among us, because our God is our supplier. He is our healer, and we lack for nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Real quick, let's just give the Lord an ovation of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Oh, there is none like you, Father God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that draws us continually to your heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price that we would be set free from all bondage, that we can live in freedom. We can live in love and truth and harmony with what you have created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been a good day. Yes, we are moving. Say, where are we moving to? Right now, we're moving into the youth room. We're staging everything in there. And then when the right door opens, we're going to slip out of there into the what God has for us. Yes, we are working on several fronts and making progress. All I can tell you is be excited. Be excited, because there are some things that will blow your mind. Blow your mind, and it's coming up because God said so. God said so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, I just speak blessings on your people. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord. Everything you do is prosperous and successful because you do it with the the impetus and the help of the Holy Spirit, that everywhere you go, you are the essence of the kingdom of God, that you are ambassadors of the kingdom, and you show forth the praises of Jesus, and you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and that you continually manifest the presence of God in every situation, not just for yourself, but for those who are around you and for everyone who comes in contact with you. You bless them. You are a blessing, so that they look at you and say, there is a blessing of God. There is the love of God. There is the peace of God. And you manifest that in every situation. You are surrounded with divine favor, and you walk in His blessings daily. I call you blessed. As you're dismissed, be sure you look at some of the signs that have been posted around to determine your day and or days or hours or 2 weeks or whatever. We'll have some more information and details, but everything's got to be packed up. Everything's got to be ready to go. So we've got a couple of weeks to do it. Find out your part and let's get it done. You are blessed. You are loved. Go with God. If you need prayer, ministers can be down front.